Christmas time's a-coming, Christmas time's a-coming, Christmas time's a-coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's a-calling, tall pines a-humming, when Christmas time's a-coming. Can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing, joy to all, hear them singing, when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together on this Monday, December 1st, 2014. A lot to cover. Quick recap from last night. Great job singing, men. Thank yous to all that showed up to our concert at the Rantoul High School. We almost filled all the chairs that were set out. Sang, it seemed, for about 2 hours and got a lot of great feedback. Quickly, I pulled out 3 prize winners for people that filled out Voice of Listener Radio surveys last night. Paul and Marianne Walters from Rantoul, Bill and Catherine Scott from Rantoul, and George and Pam McManus from Rantoul. All will get prizes. We'll mail those out soon. Well, today and tomorrow, you're going to hear a special broadcast. And in fact, it was about 6 weeks ago, I was asked to fill the pulpit at the First Baptist Church of Rantoul. Pastor Ken Crawford was out of state, I think, marrying his nephew or someone in the family. He sits on the radio board of Great News Radio, and he asked if I would come in and fill the pulpit and deliver a message. And so you'll hear about that whole process. I'll have disclaimers. I'll open in prayer. You'll hear my whole talk in its entirety today and tomorrow. You'll note there's a little bit of some audio issues. So if you listen carefully, I think you can make it all out. My theme was on adoption and God's wonder-working power, and it's a little bit of a slow start, but there's some really God-honoring stories, in fact, 3, on how God worked in this radio ministry. The 3 points I share and reference are: there is great freedom, comfort, and peace in Christ for those who follow him. There is suffering in the world, and there will be suffering and discomfort in your life, so get over it. God's in control, and he'll be there for you. And 3, when you are weak, God does great things. And I focus on Romans 8:15-18 and 2 Corinthians 12:9. So you'll hear that talk in its entirety today and tomorrow. In fact, it's more like a fireside chat. So on this, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, here's yours truly, sharing the Sunday morning message at the First Baptist Church of Rantoul about 6 or 7 weeks ago.
Before I open in prayer, let me share some introductory remarks and some disclaimers. And I want to also say how welcomed I'm feeling and have felt from the time I parked. There was the Great News Radio sign right in the window as I walked in, and then got to meet up with many good friends here. Al Hall sings with the Singing Men of GNN. I was looking for Lonnie. I guess he's not here today, but Johnny Waterman, he's volunteered with the radio ministry for 10-15 years, Johnny, so he's been a gift of God. Rick and Jeanette Rote, founding members with Great News Radio, have been on trips to Israel with me, a wonderful godly couple. And then it was the first time I met Nancy, the First Lady, their children, and thank you, God, for adoption and people that will take God's lead and adopt children at their age. And adoption is part of my message today, adoption and God's wonder-working power, because I recently, I guess 3 weeks ago, adopted little Esther, 5-year-old, into my family. So it's kind of a wonderful topic to be discussing today. And then even as the video was playing, you had the words, welcome, we're glad you're here. And for those of you that have ever tuned in to Mark and Friends, that's our theme music, we're glad you're here. So I'm thinking, okay, God, you're putting everything into place. So I thank them for that. And then I was here earlier for the adult Sunday school class, and Karen was sharing and facilitating a discussion on Jeremiah chapter 33, and it just fits really well with hopefully the remarks that I'll be sharing with you. But Jeremiah 33:3, she pointed out, call to me, this is God speaking, call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. And then through the lesson we talked about, live for God today, live in faith, not fear, and give God praise and worship. And kind of those are some of my points. You'll see I have a few goals and objectives with this message, but it fits really well with the Jeremiah passage. So for those of you that were in the adult Sunday school class, this will be maybe part 2 of what God used through Karen to guide us. Also, my goal in presenting this morning is kind of threefold. I kind of have 3 points that I hope that you'll leave here with a message from God. I do pray. But first, let me give you a few disclaimers. My primary comments today will be for those that follow Jesus and know Him as Savior. So if you've not crossed over in your faith journey yet, accepting Him as Lord, please listen carefully, because I believe God may start that unique born-again experience working in your life this very day. So primarily I'm going to be speaking to Christians that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But if you don't, bear with me, because I hope my remarks will be something that'll challenge you to think, you know, maybe God does love me, and maybe this will be the day that I'll accept Him. Also, usually when I speak and share on the radio, I'm in my home studio. The studio is right in my house, so I'm generally very relaxed, dressed casually. I was telling Al, it's sometimes till about 2 p.m. when I finally get around to shaving and get out of my t-shirt and shorts. So I'm used to being in a very nice environment at home. There's no visible audience. I'm many times winging the morning program or just sharing off of my co-host's remarks or the guests I'm interviewing. And most of the time I'm asking questions, whereas today I'm here in church in front of you, out of my comfort zone, dressed up. Now, after working for Jewel Food Stores for 16 years, I had a white shirt and tie for 16 straight years, working 6 days a week. I was so glad about 20 years ago to not wear ties ever again, but I felt it was important to dress up today. But that's a little sweaty for me now. It's bringing back the old Jewel Food Store memories. But I've also prayed up this message for a number of weeks. But some of you, instead of me being the one interviewing or asking the questions, you might have questions like, why are you even here? Is Mark worth listening to? What message from God might he be delivering? And probably even saying to yourself, when is he going to be done? I'm hungry. So bear with me. Ken said I only have 3 hours, so we'll get to lunch a little later. No, I'll be prompt. With radio, every second counts, so I probably will be within a minute or two of 12 o'clock. In fact, I'll pull out my phone and make sure I'm pretty prompt. Al was saying earlier, he knows me. There's a saying with the singing men of GNN, the 5 B's, and my name's Mark Burns, and the 5 B's that they always remind me is, be brief, Burns, be brief. So I'll hold my remarks, and I did try to keep them to about 6 pages, so that for me should get us out by noon. But I do pray as I share that something that's said will be not only God-honoring, but will draw you into a relationship with Him. That's kind of my personal mission statement. It's helping people draw near to God. And I've seen that through the radio ministry, how God can draw people to Himself. So I'll be sharing some examples of how God has raised up the radio ministry and continues to use it to His glory, even in spite of me. And that's kind of the irony. Yes, I've been foundational or fundamental in starting it, but over and over again, I'll cite examples where it was way beyond anything that I could have done. So really, all credit goes to Him. And so hopefully, as I tell some of the story, though I'm a part of it, you'll see how God really weaved all the details together. And so I present this morning with a little fear and trepidation, because I'm excited for this opportunity and yet know that, in a sense, I'm not filling Ken's role, but God desires that I would deliver a message that will equip you for this very day to know Him better and to live it out in the workplace or in your area of influence in the days ahead. So that will be my prayer now for all of us, that God can speak to us through this time and it will equip us for the days ahead. Father God, thank You for being so wonderful, so personal, pursuing each and every one of us in various ways. How You desire and have designed a plan so that we can know You, that we can follow You, that we can worship You. Thank You for the music. Thank You for these followers of Yours that have gathered on this beautiful day. They could be doing a lot of things, but they've chosen to come to First Baptist Church of Rantoul and to seek You out, to know You better. For the seeker, Father, that's maybe here, maybe a friend invited them, or maybe they're still searching for You. Reveal Yourself as only You can do. Allow these words to awaken in them that understanding that You care and that You're worthy and that You're good. And so as we share together, Father, I just pray that Your presence can be felt and understood, and that we can be equipped to be Jesus to the people throughout this week. So help us all now. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my three goals, and I may reiterate these two or three times, not so much for you to hear them, but to keep me on course. Who has ever heard Mark and Friends in the Morning? Well, if you know me, I can get derailed really easily. I can get on tangents. I can slur my speech. I can get redundant. Maybe the word really or something comes up, and I might use it 30 or 40 times. I kind of marvel how God has me involved in the radio ministry, but I think it's because I know my role and my place, and I think my strengths are I'm sincere, I'm enthusiastic. You get me wound up on any topic, and I can roll with it, and I get pretty excited. And so sincere, enthusiastic, and passionate about God's Word and people growing to know Him better. And so sometimes the clarity of the message isn't always there, but you can guarantee I'll be passionate and have fun trying to accomplish that. But I do have 3 points, and I'm going to try to keep to pretty much my outline if I can, all the while being mindful of being done by 12 o'clock. But point number one, and I'll cite the scriptures that I'm working from, is there's great freedom, comfort, and peace in Christ for those who follow Him. There is great freedom, comfort, and peace in Christ for those who follow Him. Point number two I hope to make is there is suffering in the world, and there will be suffering and discomfort in your life. So in a sense, you need to get over it because God is in control, and He will use it for the betterment of you and others. So there is suffering in the world. Recognize that's going to be true, and there will be suffering and discomfort in your life, but God is in control. So take heart. He will work through it. Point number three, when you are weak, God does great things. When you are weak, God does great things. And I'll testify to that through at least 3 radio stories when in my weakness I saw God do some incredible things. And I'm going to share from my life and the personal illustrations that I have, hopefully helping you to see that in the same way, God doesn't have any favorites. He desires to do the same thing in and through you. He desires to work in your weakness and be glorified. And as a result, you kind of get this, if you will, stand on the cutting edge of a new work that He's going to begin doing in you or through you. So He wants all of our attention, and He doesn't need our abilities. He wants our availabilities. Okay, the two passages, they're referenced in the program or in the bulletin. I haven't done this a whole lot. See, like I said, I'm used to speaking at home, not in front of people. So bear with me if I use the wrong terminology. I haven't been formally trained at Bible college. I've read God's Word faithfully for many, many years. I absolutely love it. I can't comprehend a day without spending some time in God's Word, but I've never been formally trained to speak, share, or deliver a message. So this is kind of, I think, the first time I've delivered a message or filled in. It's easy for me to speak, but to share a message with some content that I hope is of God to help you, this is kind of a first for me. But I want to refer to a couple passages, Romans 8:15-18 and 2 Corinthians 12:9, and I'll reference those throughout. Romans 8:15-18. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we also may share in His glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Romans 8:15-18. And then I'll also reference 2 Corinthians 12:9. And these are both from the NIV version. I realize there's maybe different people with different versions, but NIV is what I grew up on, and it's the ones that I've memorized the most out of. 2 Corinthians 12:9. But He said to me, now this is the Lord speaking to the Apostle Paul, but He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul goes on in the same verse to say, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. Ken gave me at least a month to think through what I'd like to share on, and I kept praying, Lord, what passage, what do you want me to share? He knows all your needs very specifically, and where do you want me to lead this message, or how do you want me to divide your words? So I was praying and thinking, and nothing was becoming overly clear, and I wanted it to be fresh and practical and something that I was either living out or he was convicting me of or bringing to light. And so as I started looking at this passage, it just came to me, this one in Romans, it talks about the sonship, daughtership, this no longer having to fear, but receiving that spirit of adoption. That sonship, another word, is adoption. And by him we cry, Abba. We cry, Father. Abba is the Hebrew word for Father. And then it says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, which is an exciting concept. We are children of God. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. And then, as it goes on, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And so my point one was, there is great freedom and comfort in Christ for those that follow Jesus, because we recognize that we are sons and daughters of God Most High, with the ability to call him Father and walk in confidence of his love and care. And I put on my little notes, wow, wow. I mean, that's an incredible truth. Sons and daughters of God. A God that sovereignly chose you from all eternity to bring you into this world at a specific time with specific gifts and talents and abilities that no one else has. Otherwise, you would be unnecessary. But God, in his divine sovereign plan, decided that you were necessary, you were needed, and he brought you into this world. And the fact that you're even here today seeking after him is a credit to him and to yourself that you're pursuing him. So I applaud you for being here, but I also applaud you that we get to call ourselves children of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. We are adopted. We can call God Abba, Father. And why that is so important to me right now, as I mentioned, a few weeks ago, I adopted 5-year-old Esther. And she'd be here this morning, but because of a car accident and different situations, she and my wife Holly are okay, but logistically, they had to go a different direction, and we only had the one car. So otherwise, I would bring her along, and she's just a little gem. I think like any father that's excited about his family or his children, you like to show them off, and so I would have Esther here. But 3 weeks ago, I filed all the documents, officially adopted her into the Burns clan, and I couldn't be any happier. But it's helping me get a greater glimpse of God's love and how he's adopted me into the family. And I'm sure Nancy can testify with the 3 children she's raising. And I loved it. Her little daughter said, Mommy, Mommy. And it was just like music, I'm sure, to Nancy's ears, and an incredible truth that her little daughter sees her as her mommy. And I didn't know this in the adoption process, but they literally, through the process, they destroy the original birth certificate and put my name on it. Now, in my case, it's kind of a unique adoption. When my wife now, Holly, was pregnant, 5 months pregnant, her husband had a heart attack, 20 seconds later was dead. So little Esther grew up with no dad, had no concept of who a dad is because there was no man, you know, from the time she was born. 5 years removed, I meet up with her, start dating Holly. It was kind of interesting because after a couple months of dating, because Esther didn't know better, we would be out in the mall or visiting somewhere, and she would run, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. You know, I'm like, well, I'm not married yet, and I didn't want anyone to think, hey, what's going on here? But she started calling me Daddy from the beginning, and it just melted my heart each and every time. Those of you that probably saw me at the mall or follow my Facebook pages, there's dozens of pictures of Esther on my shoulders. Or has anyone done the man horse thing? I mean, I don't know how much longer my knees can hold out, but I'm on the carpet and she rides me like the horse. Daddy, can we do the man horse? So I guess for at least maybe another year I can do the man horse, but the knees are not holding up as well. But anyways, it's been a beautiful relationship. And I think it mirrors kind of how God wants us to approach him, as just little children enthusiastically calling him Father. But more than Father, the word that Jesus picked out, it's Abba. The Hebrew translation, it's Abba in the scriptures. And Abba, the rendering, is more Daddy. It's not Father or like this aloof figure or this person that's high and lofty and unapproachable. It's Daddy. Jesus said when we approach the Father, we're to call Him Abba. And Abba is Daddy. And I don't know what your understanding is of God the Father. Is He far removed? Is He sovereign, which He is? Is He almighty, which He is? Is He full of grace and mercy? Is He just? Yes, He's all those things, but Jesus said to call Him Father, Daddy. And so that rings true every time she says, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. Usually it's in threes. I don't know why, but I just, maybe it's three times I love it that much. But she's always, Daddy, 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 do this. But in the same sense, that's how Jesus is encouraging us to call the Father. And I remember some years ago, I tell people about when I take groups to Israel. I remember walking through the Jewish quarter. It's in the old city. And you would see these little 3, 4, 5-year-old Orthodox Jewish children with the locks. They don't cut their hair to, I don't know, a certain point, maybe 8 or 10 years old. So they have the long locks and they're usually dressed in the black garb, the overcoats and hats. But I'd see these little children and they'd run through the Jewish quarter and they'd have their arms stretched and would say, Abba, Abba, Abba. And it was the same word. And I used to tell people it was a Kesher moment. The English equivalent of the Hebrew word kesher is Velcro. And it's like when you make a connection. And I tell people oftentimes when you go to Israel, the biblical narrative comes alive because you see the historical sites and locations and sounds that make the scriptures like, wow, these things really happen. Wow, I can really identify now with the scriptures because I've been there. And when I saw these little children running to their dad saying, Abba, it's like that kesher moment. It's like, wow, that's what God wants us to refer to Him as. That's what Jesus taught. No, God is Abba, as Father, as Daddy. And so I'm just kind of still reveling in this new adoption that I'm a part of. But the verse goes on, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, for most of you that have already made the decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, His Holy Spirit abides in you. And so there's generally a peace, an inner peace, knowing that God has your best interest in mind and that He cares for you. So if that's a foreign concept to you, boy, see some of the deacons or elders or me after the service, because today would be a great day for you to know Almighty God as Daddy. Point two is there is suffering in the world, and there will be suffering and discomfort in your life. And I don't want to sound harsh about this, but you got to get over it. It's just a reality. There is going to be suffering. When you became a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, your bank book didn't just suddenly magically start balancing every week. There are things that are distractions. There's heartache, there's hurt, there's pain. Jesus never said that that was going to be removed. He always said, though, He would be there with you or He'd walk you through. How many of you know that Footprints in the Sand, where it's like, you see the two sets of footprints going along the beach, and then it becomes one set of footprints, and the narrative is kind of like when it became one set of footprints in the sand, the person said, Jesus, why did You abandon me during the time when I was experiencing heartache or loss or disappointment? Where were You? And that's when Jesus says, that's when I carried You. And so it's kind of a neat illustration that there will be suffering, but we have a Lord that's personal that will carry us along. The verse goes on to say, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in the sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. And then Paul goes on to say, and Paul was stoned and beaten and shipwrecked and starved. He went without a lot, but he could say, I consider that our present sufferings, the sufferings he went through, are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. There is a future glory that all of us that follow the Lord Jesus Christ get to experience. And sometimes we can become short-sighted or distracted by the worldly issues and forget about the eternal. You may suffer 5, 10, 20, maybe most of your life. Some of you, many senior saints here, maybe many years, there's been some unmet needs. But you have an eternity of glory that, trust me, will make up for any kind of short-term illness or heartache that you're experiencing now. I like a comment that Tony Evans made. Tony Evans is one of the people we have the privilege of broadcasting over the airwaves. If you're not currently in the midst of suffering, then you've probably just come out of suffering. But be sure and know that suffering is just around the corner and will impact your life somehow, some way. Suffering is a part of life. A neat or special aspect of suffering, though, is that God uses it as a point of refinement to better help us to be molded into the image of Christ. God doesn't necessarily just want us happy. He wants us holy, and He wants us joyful. And so there is a point, you can be joyful in the midst of suffering, but it doesn't mean you have to be happy about it. But know that many times He'll try to work out, or His plan is to work out our salvation so that we model Christ more fully, that we're more representative of who Jesus is. His ultimate intent is that we're more like Christ, not that we're just having fun and partying and enjoying life, that we're identifying with Christ, and that we can use the suffering to counsel others, to empathize, to identify with other people. And so there is a positive sign of suffering, though it's not something that we just want. It's like I've had friends say, I'm going to pray for patience. I'm like, don't pray for patience. I don't know, has anyone ever prayed for patience before? Not a good thing to pray for, because God will cause you to have to live through some life where you're going to have to really grow in patience, and that could be a hard thing to pray for, but He will use it. But don't fight God during these times of suffering. Lean into Him and draw on His strength, as He will provide the provision to get you through it.
I'm going to jump in here. And actually, on tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends, you'll hear the three God-honoring creative stories that God used to birth this radio ministry. And so tune in at this time again tomorrow to hear the rest of the story, as given about 6 weeks ago at the First Baptist Church of Rantoul, when Pastor Ken Crawford asked me to fill the pulpit as he was out of town. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast and you want to hear it in its entirety, stop by greatnewsradio.org and click on our archive programs link. My message was entitled Adoption and God's Wonderworking Power, and you'll hear more about that tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.